Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the oil report of the Midland Reporter Telegram for Saturday, October 14th. Petroleum Museum felt like home. Retiring director Kathy Shannon, proud of museum's focus on science, contributions to community. The story was written by Mella McEwen, oil editor. About a week after Kathy Shannon joined the Petroleum Museum as director of education in 1995, then archivist Betty Orbeck led her to a wall of photos on the museum's first floor. There, in one photo, was Shannon's grandfather on a horse, and her father and uncle, children at the time, in a wagon, all pictured on the Henderson Ranch in Crane County. Quote, "I knew I was home," recalled Shannon, who officially retired October 1st from the executive director position she had held since November 2004. During her tenure, she oversaw the addition of the transportation wing, featuring Jim Hall's Chaparral cars, a new education hall, an $18 million renovation of the museum, and the opening of the STEAM Education Center this August. When she joined the museum in 1995, quote, "It was a great time to be in the museum business," she said. "Museums were starting to figure out they couldn't go on if they had showed old stuff. They were looking at how to expand their reach, be part of the community, educate visitors, and take their items and tell a story. This whole revolution was just starting," end quote. For Shannon, the addition of the transportation wing was illustrative of that revolution, challenging her to figure out how to incorporate the Chaparral cars into a petroleum museum. She chose to emphasize the science, she said, explaining the exhibits teach about aerodynamics and physics. That shift to science is one of the top three things she is most proud of accomplishing in her time as executive director. Quote, "Beyond being cool cars, why do they look different? Aerodynamics. Aerodynamics was essentially invented on cars. Jim Hall loved it. What he wanted was to get kids interested in science. If they can dream it, they can build it, they can bring it," she said. After succeeding in the daunting task of raising $18 million to update its galleries, the museum celebrated the grand opening of the renovations in 2016, the second of the three things she is most proud of. Quote, "I wanted a representation of a clean, high-tech industry," said Shannon. "The industry is seen as this dirty industry, but the museum shows all this amazing technology that's been developed. I wanted it to be exciting for kids, to encourage them to enter the industry," end quote. The third thing she is most proud of is the 8,000-square-foot STEAM building, development of which was paused by the pandemic. But the local foundation stepped up and helped bring the center to fruition. As she spoke with the Reporter Telegram, it had been hosting 100 students over the last 2 days. She said the museum hires teachers for its summer programs, and the teachers talk about how much they learn and how they're now more comfortable talking about science in their classrooms. Quote, "Think about the multiplier effect. Each teacher affects about 30 students," she said. The museum has received a grant that next summer will let it pay teachers who must attend a workshop before they can teach museum classes. Quote, "If we can teach the teachers, what an impact," Shannon said. "The multiplier effect is amazing. No, we're not competitive with the schools. we provide summer jobs, we're training teachers. The impact is felt from the teachers to the students. We're helping the community," end quote. But first and foremost, Shannon said, the exhibits at the museum tell Midland's story, without a doubt. She recounted a Boy Scout asking her recently about her primary focus was at the museum. "And it wasn't very big," she laughed. For a long time, she answered, the primary focus was education. Then, a few years ago, we became an advocate for the industry. It's critical we be an advocate for the industry. It's come under such criticism. If they come in with an open mind, they'll be amazed," end quote. Having stepped down from the museum, she said her initial plans are to spend time with her grandchildren. Quote, "Then we'll see what comes along. I never intended to work at the museum, but if you don't set a path, you never know what comes along," she said. Garden City farmer tries oil field chemicals on irrigation system. The story was written by Mella McEwen, oil editor. Oil field service companies are developing and advancing chemical technology to treat produced water for reuse in completions. One company is transferring that chemical technology to help a Garden City farmer clean his drip irrigation system. Darren Jost of Darren Jost Farms approached Clean Chemistry about issues he was having with fungus and bacteria growing and clogging the emitters in his drip irrigation system. Quote, "He'd been trying several different chemistries to break the emitters free of bacteria. Brent Bankowski, president, food and beverage at Clean Chemistry, told the Reporter Telegram by telephone. He said the company's Peroxy Max is used to clean water prior to it being injected downhole in fracturing operations, but it had been used in California for some time to clean irrigation lines. Speaking with the Reporter Telegram by telephone while taking a break from harvesting cotton, he also grows corn, Jost said the old standby methods were not working and he was nearing the point where he would have to dig up and replace the entire drip irrigation system. He said a close friend, a longtime user of drip irrigation who recently passed, and a seed representative both referred him to a third party with knowledge of chemical engineers and suggested Clean Chemistry. What appealed to him was that the chemicals would break and not harm the soil or the bacteria in the soil that actually help plants grow. Quote, "Farmers are always trying to take care of the soil and the environment more than they're given credit," Jost said. "Farmers and ranchers are the best stewards of the environment. That's our livelihood," end quote. In August, Clean Chemistry ran trials of its Peroxymax on a couple of trial zones with a 100% success rate, according to Bankowski. In the last couple of weeks, he said the company did a complete remediation of the entire system. Jost said the results seemed promising, but he is waiting for this coming February or March when he turns the irrigation system back on before he declares it a complete success. He said only a few farms in his area have a similar problem where the fungus grows in the system tape and develops fibers like hair that chokes the emitters, rendering the irrigation system ineffective. Quote, "Something is in that water," Jost said. He noted there were some wells on his farm that had been plugged way, way back, and wonders if the plugged wells might bear some responsibility. He added that while he thinks using Peroxymax will solve his issues, work still needs to be done to make it more economic. Perhaps less of the chemicals are needed, which would help cut costs, he said. Quote, We're still fine-tuning the process, end quote. Keeping drip irrigation systems is important not only to farmers because it results in better crops, but it's also a more efficient use of water, meaning there's more water available for humans and livestock, said Pankowski. He said the company also has approval to use the chemistry to treat crops after they're harvested to prevent bacterial contamination that could result in foodborne illnesses. Should the trials on Jost's farm prove successful, he said he wants to approach more farmers in the region about using it to address their issues. Triple Crown Resources says complex emissions regulations frustrate operators. The story was written by Mella McEwen, oil editor. Oil and gas companies, large and small, are serious about reducing their greenhouse gas emissions. But Ryan Keyes, co-founder of Triple Crown Resources, is finding a lot of frustration surrounding the subject. Keyes is also leading the effort by the National Petroleum Council to conduct a study providing the NPC's perspective on greenhouse gas emission reduction plans and potential across the U.S. natural gas value chain. He hosts workshops across the country, telling Grant Schwartzwelder, president of OTA Environmental Solutions, during OTA's monthly Oil Field Strong webinar, workshops have been held in Houston, Midland, and Denver, and one is planned for Pittsburgh. The initiative is being done at the request of the Secretary of Energy, and Keith said it has attracted participants from companies as large as Chevron to one where the attendee was the only employee. Quote, "Folks care enough to show up. These are full-day workshops," Keith said. "We have people committed to understanding the rules and getting their emissions down and doing it as cheaply as possible. Without fail, regardless of who's responding or where, there is frustration about how complicated emissions standards and emissions reporting are becoming." Quote, "They're very complicated and very nuanced, and there's a lot of back and forth, things that can be a Pandora's box, especially the super emitter rule," Keyes said. He acknowledged that it's frustrating and complicated for the regulators as well. But come 2025, Keyes said, regulators will no longer want just quantification of emissions, but will start levying fines for exceeding certain thresholds. Keyes said he was asked to chair the workshops because his company is a leader in not only addressing its emissions, but in sharing its best practices because it saw capturing those emissions as something, quote, "we could get good at and make some money," end quote. People began inviting their perspective, he continued, and the company has made a practice of sharing its data, its experience, and its success in meeting challenges. Quote, "we could say there probably needs to be better alignment between upstream and midstream," Keyes said. "The supply chain is not aligned with how we as an industry are going to tackle this. It starts at the contract level, where upstream companies dedicate acreage or assets to midstream companies that hopefully gets all this going. Hopefully, the silver lining is to become better aligned and more aware, because we can't prevent 100% of leaks unless we're more aligned. There's more synergies, and both care just as much about where. If they don't leak, we win, and if we don't leak, they win," end quote. SK Capital Partners acquires Milestone Environmental. The story was written by Mella McEwen, oil editor. Milestone Environmental Services, which has 6 slurry injection and landfill locations in the Midland and Delaware basins, is under new ownership. SK Capital Partners has completed its acquisition of Milestone, taking a controlling stake in the Houston-based company in partnership with Milestone President and Chief Executive Officer Gabriel Rio. Quote, "Milestone was at an inflection point," explained Rio, who will retain his role as president and CEO, as well as significant ownership in the company. Quote, "We had really built waste disposal to a leadership position and are accelerating in the carbon capture and sequestration space," he explained during a call with the Reporter-Telegram. Quote, "We are also working to expand our waste offerings to other types of industry," end quote. Those other types of industries include heavy industry, refineries, and chemical manufacturers, he said. Those growth ambitions, coupled with Milestone wanting access to more capital and its ownership by the same private equity firm, Amberjack Capital Partners, for 9 years, had the company looking for new partnership. Quote, "The great thing about SK Capital is they're investing behind our strategy, our vision," Rio said. While keeping the Milestone team in place, Rio said the company can leverage SK's expertise and infrastructure and its long track record of helping other companies grow and grow quickly. Jack Norris, managing director of SK Capital, said his New York-based company focuses on the theme of sustainability and takes that approach with its portfolio companies. Speaking with the Reporter-Telegram by telephone, he cited one portfolio company, Ecopol, which makes the biodegradable films and delivery systems used in the increasing number of dishwasher and detergent pods. Environmental service is another consideration. Quote, "What we liked about Milestone is it provides a valuable service to an industry with an environmental footprint. It takes that waste into its slurry wells and sequesters the related carbon. We liked what they were doing and continued to do with their core business," he said. On top of that was Milestone's ability to make a multi-year investment in carbon capture and sequestration and take it to the next level, Norris continued. He listed Milestone's just-announced plans for a CCS hub in the Midland Basin and even larger hub planned for the Delaware Basin. The company also works hand-in-hand with its customers on their environmental footprint and their desire to lower their carbon intensity amid increasingly stringent regulations and corporate mandate to reduce or eliminate flaring. Quote, "We think we can be accretive to Milestone," he said. "Sustainability is an increasingly important component today, and carbon management is a big element of sustainability," end quote. Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Odessa American or Monday, October 16th. Rabbi says war calls global culture into question. The story was written by Ruth Campbell. Rabbi Roberto Feldman says the October 7th attack on Israel by the terrorist group Hamas and the all-out war that's ensued has drained Jewish people everywhere emotionally and mentally, but it has filled them with the resolve to see the gruesome conflict through to victory. In a second letter to his congregation at Temple Beth El in Odessa since the war began, the rabbi reached deeply into the well of his articulacy in an attempt to express the pathos of the day. Quote, "Biting into the fruit of these times of ours does not make us discern between good and evil," he said. "It's the other way around. It makes us not discern at all between surface and intention or between discernment and its unbearable opposite. We have been losing freedom in the apparent debauchery in which everyone has a profile and goes viral. What is easy and in poor taste, what is cheap and strident, rises today like a tyranny. It demands that we affirm and confirm it, and we supposedly can only like it. If not, you should shut up. Don't forget to put a like on it. Don't let the time pass without adding your virtue signal, too. The lighter, the better. Thus, we are sinking, losing, becoming debilitated. End quote. The rabbi expressed astonishment and revulsion at the depravity of Hamas. Quote, the real horror, the absolute demonic evil of the ultimate baseness that is Hamas, the suffering of all the Israeli victims of the most cruel massacre against the Jewish people since the Holocaust, is thus sunk in the evanescence of the, let's say, of a tenderly North Korean discursive format, said Feldman, who lives near Santiago, Chile. Quote, the words would always have been banal, but today words are no longer the most empty. It is human beings themselves who no longer escape the regulatory nonsense, the foolish norm, the law of massive insensitivity. The distance, then, between pain and shock, all that ocean of emotions and feelings that overwhelms us, has no outlet, no osmosis, no relief, no dialogue. There is no logic anymore. End quote. Feldman said he is not an American citizen, and his reactions were not at all intended to be political. Referring to President Biden's response to the crisis, the rabbi said, quote, from an unexpected actor, a light emerged when the President of the United States spoke. Old, tired, aged, for some discredited, suddenly his old age became alive and his emotional self became his grace and power. He spoke with feeling and reason. He named everything by its name. He supported Israel without dissimulation or ambiguity and without obligatory diagonals due to political correctness. End quote. Calling Biden a politician of the 20th century rather than the 21st, Feldman said Biden spoke with solid, formidable empathy. Quote, he did not talk like a politician, he said. He did not talk about dollars that he will send or bills that he signed, about things or numbers. He said everything that matters to us Jews, Israeli, and decent people around the world with real empathy. His speech was a clear statement of Jewish history and Zionism without entering into lectures or lengthy heights. We Jews have our homeland, and it is the only one we have, and that is our secret weapon. Many things will happen, hardships, many words will be said, and tragically, even more blood will be spilled, and more boys and girls in the prime of life will fall. I am left with the message of an old man who turned his old age into a voice and his old emotion into a message that is clearer, fresher, and more outstanding than all the evanescent marimus you can read or hear. He said it as an old president of a decent USA and with a decent world of yesteryear that seemed suppressed by the progressive academy that he has obeyed so often. His was a hug to the people of Israel, which, in the context of these times we live in, was as miraculous as it was powerful. End quote. Feldman said the Israeli Defense Forces are acting professionally in the frame of their ethical doctrine. Quote, they won't target civilians, but they will make sure that every single Hamas member and sympathizer complicit in the crimes against humanity committed against the Jewish people and Israel will be hunted down, no matter if above the ground or below the ground, he said. That's why it is urging Gaza's citizens to move to the south of the territory. The IDF has to destroy the huge subterranean city called the Metro. It will be horrible, and civilians will die no matter how careful the IDF is. But there is no alternative. The people of Israel must defend themselves. Perhaps the old decency of truly empathizing is the way out of the Orwellian nightmare we live in as a globalized, bubbling humanity. May God help us recover it and give us the courage to illuminate it inside us so that we can all perceive it and finally light it inside powerfully. End quote. Samaritan Center, The New Self. The story was written by guest contributor Yvette Rodriguez, M.A., LPC. Although frequently associated with ghosts, goblins, witches, and the like, Halloween is also called All Hallows' Eve, a day to remember and to celebrate lost loved ones. The following day is Day of the Dead, or All Souls' Day, a continued celebration of honoring the dead. During eye movement desensitization and reprocessing, or EMDR, the old self must die for the new self to emerge. This is done through the utilization of bilateral stimulation. Destruction of the old self is crucial to the healing of the mind. Once the old self is destroyed, the new self can begin to emerge by honoring and thanking the old self for its protection during distressing or traumatic events. EMDR can help individuals heal and move forward from distressing past events and cause a rebirth of the self. If you struggle with mental health, do not be afraid to ask for help. If Samaritan can be of assistance, please do not hesitate to contact us at 432-563-4144 for counseling or psychiatric care. Cates, One Change at a Time, Hand Washing. The story was written by Carol A. Cates, Chief Nursing Officer, Odessa Regional Medical Center. I have a series of pictures in my office of nurses in Great Britain during World War I. When I first became a Chief Nursing Officer, or CNO, I wanted to find some pictures for my office that spoke to me of what nursing really means, and I found these photographs. The first is of a nurse making a bed. The second is a nursing ward with the nurse looking cool, clean, and confident in her cap and whites, and the third is a nurse sitting by the bedside of a badly burned soldier. Nearly 8 years of being a CNO later, those pictures still strike me in the ways that nursing has changed. But even more so, those pictures remind me of the ways nursing has not changed. Cleanliness and a caring hand to hold make a huge difference in patient outcomes. Hand washing is the first step when it comes to cleanliness. Hand washing isn't just a big deal in healthcare. Hand washing makes a huge difference to everyone when it comes to disease prevention. Hand washing as a preventative practice against infection is largely credited to Florence Nightingale, the mother of modern nursing, beginning back in the 1860s during the Crimean War. She was able to prove that hand washing decreased infections and deaths among the wounded. She based her theories largely on the 1840s work of Dr. Ignaz Semmelweis. He noticed that in his hospital, the maternal mortality rate was as much as nearly three times higher when doctors delivered babies versus when they were delivered by a midwife. He found that the difference was because the doctors went from other patients and even autopsies to their maternal patients, where the midwives only went between maternal patients. When he started having doctors wash their hands before going to the maternal wards, the mortality rate decreased dramatically. Despite his and Florence Nightingale's work, routine hand-washing for surgeons only became a practice starting in the late 1870s. Even with all the knowledge about the difference hand-washing made in preventing disease in healthcare, routine hand-washing outside the healthcare setting took over 100 years to establish. Routine hand-washing outside of healthcare did not become a recommendation until the 1980s. Did you know the top two killers of kids around the world are diarrheal disease and pneumonia? According to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the CDC, 1.8 million kids under 5 die each year from those two conditions. 1 out of 3 of the diarrhea cases and 1 out of 5 of the pneumonia cases in kids under 5 could be prevented with hand washing with soap and water after using the toilet. Yet, the worldwide average for hand washing with soap and water after using the toilet is only 19%. There are a few other benefits of hand washing. Hand washing and access to soap in schools improves attendance. Good hand washing early in life has been linked to improved child development in some populations. Hand washing helps reduce antibiotic use and subsequent antibiotic resistance. Frequent hand washing prevents many types of eye infections. There are 7 steps for properly washing your hands. 1. Wet your hands with clean, preferably running water. 2. Apply enough soap to cover all surfaces of your hands and wrists. 3. Lather and rub your hands together, making sure to scrub all surfaces, including your fingernails and wrists. 4. Scrub for at least 20 seconds. Many smart watches can now detect and time your hand washing. Singing the happy birthday song in your head twice also takes about 20 seconds. 5. Rinse your hands and wrists under clean, preferably running water. 6. Dry your hands and wrists with a clean towel or let them air dry. 7. Use a towel to turn off the faucet and open doors. Hand sanitizer is a great option if you can't hand wash because of time or facilities, but it's not a better option. Hand sanitizer will not help with hands that are obviously soiled, so in those cases, you will need to find soap and water. Wash your hands frequently, particularly after using the toilet, after coughing, sneezing, or blowing your nose, when hands look dirty, after working or playing outdoors, before eating, and after touching animals or their bedding areas. If you are in a healthcare setting, it is perfectly okay to ask your caregiver if they have washed their hands. I highly encourage you to do so, because that hand you may need to hold also needs to be a clean one. 6 ways to weatherize your home. A changing of the seasons may mean adjustments to your routine and updates to your home decor, but it also brings maintenance and upgrade opportunities for homeowners. As temperatures shift and seasonal weather rolls in, weatherizing can help you conserve energy, save money, and improve comfort, all while protecting the exterior and interior of your home from the elements. This checklist from the door experts at Masonite, a global industry leader in interior and exterior doors and door systems, can help you keep the outdoors out. Have heating and cooling systems inspected. Turn to the professionals to have your furnace and air conditioning inspected before temperatures change. They can make sure the system is working properly so you can have heat or cool air when you need it, while conducting safety checks to keep your family safe from carbon monoxide leaks and other hazards. Plus, having your system inspected before any extreme weather means necessary repairs can be completed before you're relying on it for comfort. Trim trees. Your trees and shrubs might provide a beautiful aesthetic in spring and summer, but winter weather can turn them into hazards for your home. Heavy winds and snow and ice buildup can cause branches to break off and damage roofs, windows, and more. Some experts recommend waiting until leaves fall to prune. Be sure to research the types of trees on your property and understand the best maintenance methods to keep them healthy without putting your home at risk. Replace your front door. Living in a comfortable, energy-efficient home starts with keeping out rain, wind, cold, and heat. For a protected and weatherproof home, consider replacing your front door with a premium alternative like the Masonite Performance Door System, designed to keep the outside out and the inside in. Available with a variety of exterior fiberglass doors and a multitude of styles, colors, and finishes, including multiple glass options, the system's industry-leading 4-point performance seal provides superior energy efficiency, performance, and comfort. Plus, the system is backed by a 10-year limited full replacement warranty and available at home improvement retailers nationwide. Additional benefits include: a square-edge door fits perfectly into its frame for a solid, energy-efficient seal. A self-adjusting sill maintains its seal, adapting to imperfect or changing conditions. Adaptive weather stripping made of high-end, low-wick memory foam snaps back into shape when bent or twisted, stopping air and water in its tracks. Enhanced corner pads stop upward water pressure and form a tight seal between sill, door panel, and frame. Clear gutters. While it's a bit of a dirty job, clearing gutters of debris and buildup like leaves and twigs keeps the system running as it should. Gutters can't properly drain when they're blocked, which means water isn't being diverted properly. This leads to water spilling over and can cause problems ranging from mold or mildew to larger issues like foundation damage. Secure outdoor furniture. It may cause a bit of sadness putting patio furniture away for the season, but it's an important step in protecting both the furniture itself and your home from high winds that can pick up during colder months or increased moisture during the rainy season. Some pieces may need to be stored away, while others can simply be covered, but make sure to clean and carefully dry to avoid mold and mildew growth beforehand. Take advantage of the opportunity to thoroughly clean grease and grime off grill grates, repair damaged furniture items, and clear the entire area of dirt and debris so everything's ready to be dusted off and enjoyed in the spring. Hire a roof inspector. The roof is a critical component in keeping your home structurally sound. A professional can examine your roof for damage and assess anything that may need fixed or replaced ahead of winter weather or rain. This examination includes shingles, soffit, fascia, chimneys, gutters, and more, along with a check for signs of interior damage like water stains, mold, holes, or wood rot. Find more ways to weatherize your home and keep the outdoors out by visiting masonite.com.
This is Christine. I'll be reading Odessa American for October 16th, 2023. Odessa Christian's Obstacle Course Shenanigans coming up by Odessa American October 14th, 2023. The community is invited to have some fun and raise some funds October 21st at Odessa Christian School's Obstacle Course Shenanigans. The third annual fall fundraiser is set for 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Jim Parker Park. Some 300 plus people are expected. There will be an inflatable obstacle course, soccer, bungee, run, and slide jumper. Odessa Christian School students can purchase a $25 wristband and go through the obstacle course in jumpers as many times as they want. Tickets may be purchased to pay for other activities such as face painting, games, snack bar, goat petting, and more. Games will include cornhole, Jenga, ring toss washers like horseshoes, and ladder ball. Ladder ball is two balls on a string, and then you've got a little ladder, one on each end, and then you take turns from either side and you fling it, and it wraps around the ladder for points. If it misses, you don't get any points, Freeman said. Business sponsorships are still needed, with all of the sponsors of $300 or more. They will have a sponsor book with each of their logos and contact information. It will go home with each family member from the school in each business. There are business signs in front of the school, which will be moved to the park the day of the obstacle course shenanigans. Children age 5 and up may participate in the obstacle course. Also available will be a soft play area with jumpers for ages 4 and under. There will be food trucks, family booths, chess in the park, karaoke, snacks, and toy sales. DJ, a nurse who is working on her doctorate, will conduct a survey, and Andy Armadillo from Texas Roadhouse. There will be other special guests as well. Anyone who has a family business can set up a tent and promote it. Principal Pam Walker said middle school students will participate in a Keep Odessa Beautiful activity at 9 a.m. before obstacle course shenanigans starts. The shenanigans are always fun. It's always fun to hear kids out there just enjoying and laughing, and especially this year with the karaoke and instruments. I think that it is just to add so much fun to it to hear the Christian music being played throughout the day. It's inspired, Freeman said. Proceeds from the event will go to support the local school. Odessa Christian has 127 students in grades pre-K 3 through 8. Walker said they are still enrolling students in some grades. There is another fundraiser February 4th called Winter Fest that is similar to a carnival but indoors. There are games and activities in each room and a silent auction in the cafeteria. Nuggets, Koinonia, October 14, 2023, by Jannie Linney. According to the crowd you are hanging out with, you may be familiar with this word or you may not. This is a Greek word translated in the Bible as fellowship or communing, also meaning sharing in common. When a person is born again, becomes a Christian, they have a hunger to commune, to have fellowship with like-minded people. That communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Philemon 6. If we are in Christ, then he is in us. Then we are one body with all Christians, no matter what nationality we are. The devil is so trying to divide us. He knows united we stand. He hates us as Christians, no matter our color. A person that is saved and on their way to heaven not only wants to have fellowship with God and other people of God, they want to tell, they want to acknowledge all those good things he paid that awful price for. Communing, sharing, is making a contribution into the situation. We want to share him with others. Jesus said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, no matter the color, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost." Matthew 28:17-19. For true Christians, this is our great commission. The government is on our shoulders because we are his body. We are one body and one blood. Acts 27:26-28. You have heard that old saying, birds of a feather flock together, or a pig will return to wallow in the mire. The Bible says a dog will return to its vomit. All this sort of classifies the animals of the world in reference to the actions of people. One of the biggest complaints we hear of people who don't want to go to church is they don't want to be around all those hypocrites. I apologize for Christians that are living in open, blatant sin that is sure not pleasing to God. We have to realize some people are new Christians and don't know any better. There are some that have been wrongly taught that after they go to the front of the church, they can live any way they want and still go to heaven. The Bible does not teach that. We are in a learning, growing process. Once we realize something is wrong, the Bible says to run from sin. Once we know something displeases our Heavenly Father, it hurts our heart to do it. We want to have fellowship with Him, for if we sin willfully after we receive the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. Hebrews 10:26. We should look and act more like Jesus now than we did last year at this time. Jesus was the only perfect person to ever be on earth. He had to discipline the disciples. In fact, He said, He chastens those He loves. Wouldn't it be better to koinonia, to fellowship with some imperfect Christians, than to buddy with those who are on their way to hell? I think we forget those are only two choices. It's up or down. It is appointed to man once to die, and then the judgment. No second chance. Think about it. If you're born again, it would be good to fellowship with Christians. If you are not saved, the Bible says, today is the day of salvation. None of us are guaranteed tomorrow. Eternity is forever. Why not start your fellowship today? True Christians have more fun than any other group. Ask Jesus to forgive you and come into your heart. Then, koinonia, have fellowship with Him. He will lead you into all truth. Samaritan Center, The New Self, by Guest View, October 16, 2023, by Yvette Rodriguez, M.A., LPC. Although frequently associated with ghosts, goblins, witches, and the like, Halloween is also called All Hallows' Eve, a day to remember and celebrate lost loved ones. The following day is the Day of the Dead, or All Souls' Day, a continued celebration of honoring the dead. During eye movement desensitization and reprocessing, EMDR, the old self must die and the new self must merge. This is done through the utilization of bilateral stimulation. Destruction of the old self is crucial to the healing of the mind. Once the old self is destroyed and the new self can begin to emerge by honoring and thanking the old self for its protection during distressing or traumatic events. EMDR can help individuals heal and move forward from distressing past events and cause a rebirth of the self. If you struggle with mental health, do not be afraid to ask for help. If Samaritan can be of assistance, please do not hesitate to call us at 432-563-4144 for counseling or psychiatric care. Cates, One Change at a Time, Hand Washing, by Carol A. Cates, October 16, 2023, by Carol A. Cates, SNMBARN, Chief Nursing Officer, Odessa Regional Medical Center. I have a series of pictures in my office of nurses in Great Britain during World War I. When I first became a Chief Nursing Officer, CNO, I wanted to find some pictures for my office that spoke to me of what nursing really means, and I found these photographs. The first is of a nurse making a bed. The second is a nurse ward with the nurse looking cool, clean, and confident in her cap and whites. And the third is a nurse sitting by the bedside of a badly burned soldier. Nearly 8 years of being CNO later, those pictures still strike me in the ways that nursing has changed, but even more so, those pictures remind me of the ways nursing has not changed. Cleanliness and a caring hand to hold make a huge difference in patient outcomes. Hand washing is the first step when it comes to cleanliness. Washing isn't just a big deal in healthcare. Hand washing makes a huge difference for everyone when it comes to disease prevention. Hand washing as a preventative practice against infection is largely credited to Florence Nightingale, the mother of modern nursing, beginning back in the 1860s during the Crimean War. She was able to prove that hand washing decreased infections and deaths among the wounded. She based her theories largely on the 1840s work of Dr. Inez Semmelweis. He noticed that in the hospital, the maternal mortality rate was nearly three times higher when doctors delivered babies versus when they were delivered by a midwife. He found that the difference was because the doctors went from other patients and even autopsies to their maternal patients, where the midwives only went between maternal patients. When he started having doctors wash their hands before going to the maternal wards, the mortality rate decreased dramatically. Despite his and Florence Nightingale's work, routine hand washing for surgeons only became a practice in the late 1870s. Even with all the knowledge about the difference hand washing made in preventing diseases in healthcare, routine hand washing outside of the healthcare setting took over 100 years to establish. Routine hand washing outside of healthcare did not become a recommendation until the 1980s. Did you know the top two killers of kids around the world are diarrheal disease and pneumonia? According to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, CDC, 1.8 million kids under 5 die each year from those two conditions. A third of the diarrhea cases and a fifth of the pneumonia cases in kids under 5 could be prevented with hand washing with soap and water after using the toilet, yet the worldwide average for hand washing with soap and water after using the toilet is only 19%. A few other benefits of hand washing and access to soap in schools improves attendance. Good hand washing earlier in life has been linked to improved child development in some populations. Hand washing helps reduce antibiotic use and subsequent antibiotic resistance. Frequent hand washing prevents many types of eye infections. There are 7 steps for properly washing your hands. Number 1, wet your hands with clean, preferably running water. 2, apply enough soap to cover all surfaces of your hands and wrists. Number 3, lather and rub your hands together, making sure to scrub all surfaces, including your fingernails and wrists. Number 4, scrub for at least 20 seconds. Many smartwatches can now detect and time your hand washing. Singing the happy birthday song in your head twice also takes about 20 seconds. Number 5, rinse your hands and wrists under clean, preferably running water. Number 6, dry your hands and wrists with a clean towel or let them air dry. Number 7, use a towel to turn off the faucet and open doors. Hand sanitizer is a great option if you can't hand wash because of times or facilities. It's not a better option. Hand sanitizer will not help with the hands that are obviously soiled, so in those cases, you will need to find soap and water. Wash your hands frequently, particularly after using the toilet, after coughing, sneezing, or blowing your nose, when hands look dirty, after working or playing outdoors, or before eating and after touching animals or their bedding areas. If you are in a healthcare setting, it's perfectly okay to ask your caregiver if they have washed their hands. I highly encourage you to do so because that hand you may need to hold also needs to be a clean one. 6 Ways to Weatherize Your Home by guest contributor, October 16, 2023. Family Features. A changing of the seasons may mean adjustments to your routine and updates to your home decor, but it also brings maintenance and upgrade opportunities for homeowners. As temperatures shift and seasonal weather rolls in, weatherizing can help you conserve energy, save money, and improve comfort, all while protecting the exterior and interior of your home from the elements. This checklist from doors expert at Masonite, a global industry leader in interior and exterior doors and door systems, can help you keep the outdoors out. Have heating and cooling systems inspected. Turn to the professionals to have your furnace and air conditioning inspected before temperatures change. They can make sure the system is working properly so you have heat or cool air when you need it while conducting safety checks to keep your family safe from carbon monoxide leaks and other hazards. Plus, having your system inspected before any extreme weather means necessary repairs can be completed before you're relying on it for comfort. Trim trees. Your trees and shrubs might provide a beautiful aesthetic in spring and summer, but winter weather can turn them into hazards for your home. Heavy winds and snow and ice buildup can cause branches to break off and damage roofs, windows, and more. Some experts recommend waiting until leaves fall to prune. Be sure to research the types of trees on your property and understand the best maintenance methods to keep them healthy without putting your home at risk. Replace your front door. Living in a comfortable, energy-efficient home starts with keeping out rain, wind, cold, and heat. For a protective and weatherproof home, consider replacing your front door with a premium alternative like the Masonite Performance Door System, designed to keep the outside out and inside in. Available with a variety of exterior fiberglass doors and a multitude of styles, colors, and finishes, including multiple glass options, the system's industry-leading 4-point performance seal provides superior energy efficiency, performance, and comfort. Plus, the system is backed by a 10-year limited full replacement warranty and available at home improvement retailers nationwide. Additional benefits include a square-edge door fits perfectly into its frame for a solid energy-efficient seal. A self-adjusting seal maintains its seal, adapting to imperfect or changing conditions. Adaptive weather stripping made of high-end, low-wick memory foam snaps back into shape when bent or twisted, stopping air and water in its tracks. Enhanced corner pads stop upward water pressure and form a tight seal between sill, door panel, and frame. Clear gutters. While it's a bit of a dirty job, clearing gutters of debris and buildup like leaves and twigs keep the system running as it should. Gutters can't properly drain when they're blocked, which means water isn't being diverted properly. This leads to water spilling over and can cause problems ranging from mold or mildew to larger issues like foundation damage. Secure outdoor furniture. It may cause a bit of sadness putting patio furniture away for the season, but it's an important step in protecting both the furniture itself and your home from high winds that can pick up during colder months or increased moisture during the rainy season. Some pieces may need stored away while others can simply be covered, but make sure to clean and carefully dry to avoid mold and mildew growth beforehand. Take advantage of the opportunity to thoroughly clean grease and grime off grill grates, repair damaged furniture items, and clear the entire area of dirt and debris so everything's ready to be dusted off and enjoyed in the spring. Hire a roof inspector. The roof is a critical component in keeping your home structurally sound. A professional can examine your roof for damage and assess anything that might need fixed or replaced ahead of winter weather or rain. This examination includes shingles, soffit, fascia, chimneys, gutters, and more, along with the check for signs of interior damage like water stains, mold, holes, or wood rot. Find more ways to weatherize your home and keep the outdoors out by visiting masonite.com/masonite-performance-door-system. This is Christy, and I'll be reading Permian Proud. 8th Annual Permian Basin Recycle Fashion Show coming to Catwalk in Odessa, October 11, 2023, by staff report. Fashionistas and artists from all over the Permian Basin will showcase their recycled, repurposed, and reusable fashion designs to keep Odessa Beautiful's upcoming 8th Annual Recycle Fashion Show in Odessa. The event, a fundraiser themed this year as Dia de los Muertos Masquerade, will take place Friday, October 20th at 6 p.m. at the Odessa Marriott Hotel and Conference Center, 305 East 5th Street in Odessa. Along with a runway fashion show filled with gorgeous and creative fashion designs, the event will feature music, a silent auction, and a three-course meal, all for the price of admission. Valentina Rivera, an advancement via individual determination, AVID teacher at New Tech in Odessa, who co-launched a recycling initiative at her school, will serve as one of the event's judges, according to the City of Odessa. The Recycle Fashion Show allows the community to come together and see different ways of recycling and upscaling. Rivera told city officials, "There is always a way for us to keep the city clean." Tickets to the show are $100 per person plus Eventbrite fees and $1,000 per table plus Eventbrite fees. Formal attire is requested to attend. To purchase tickets, click here or call 432-335-4686 for more information.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.